Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready for a Victory Monday, Keith?
I'm ready, Jones.
I'm ready to get a lot of Victory Mondays. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but holy mackerel.
I think there's going to be some.
There might be a few. That was nice. That was a nice little win there yesterday.
That's exactly what it was.
It
was not a ton of style points, although...
Oh, some cool plays, though. Some really good stuff.
Great early touchdown there from Drake May. I mean, if all of his touchdowns counted, maybe there would be some style points.
That's a good point.
But... not all the style points in the world. New Orleans was hanging around, annoyingly so, in that game. There were multiple times I looked up. Right before halftime, I'm like, how are the Saints winning? And then the Patriots took the lead going into halftime. And then late in the game, you're like, how is this game not over? How are they still hanging around?
Yeah, they're kind of like a pesky team, maybe. Pesky? I don't even know if they're frisky, necessarily, but they're kind of they're more pesky
than frisky.
They kind of hang around. You know, Spencer Rattler, we mentioned how going into the game, he only had one pick on the season. You're like, oh, he's a young, not great quarterback. He should turn it over a lot. Not really. Doesn't really turn it over a lot. The defense isn't bad. They're 1-5. They're going to be one of the worst teams in the league. But they've played a lot of close games. I think this is what they've lost 5 games. I think 4 of them have been within one possession. So, like, you know, but I also think it was more where the game was on the schedule than anything else, where you're like, all right, it's a road game in between 2 other road games, which are going to be much more emotional, even if they want to treat them like they're every other game. The Bills game, for all the reasons we went over the last 2 weeks, and then even the Titans game coming up for Vrabel, stand out way more, way easier to circle than like at a 1-4 Saints team. So the fact that they came out and they've had slow starts earlier this year, the fact they came out the way that they did was very promising. Obviously, second half, you didn't really put up a lot of points and you kind of had to hold on to the win, but you did. And that's a sign of a good team, too, is you're not always going to play your best for all 4 quarters, but can you still beat the teams you're better than? And they did.
Yeah, they didn't let down. And so I think that was the main thing we were all wondering about. Would Vrabel be caught looking ahead to the Tennessee game? Would the players be caught looking past a team like New Orleans?
Or just like still feeling good about the Bills game?
Coming off the big victory over Buffalo, Steph Diggs, it was his Super Bowl. Like, Drake May played incredible in that game. Would they let down? And they didn't. So, yeah, there might not have been the style points. It wasn't a blowout like there was against Carolina. But they did what they had to do. Remember, if they win in Tennessee this weekend, it'll be the first time in franchise history they swept 3 straight road games. They never did it with Brady.
It's wild.
So, look, they got the hardest one out of the way with Buffalo, New Orleans, and Tennessee. Even if New Orleans is pesky, they're not good.
No.
Tennessee is real bad.
Ooh, stinks.
So, yeah, I'm with you. I think there's a lot of wins on this schedule as long as they don't let down against opponents that they're better than. And make no mistake, they're better than these teams. Patriots are pretty good. I was looking at Chad...
Kraft. Sure.
On Twitter. And he tweeted out the Athletics playoff model, Keith.
Playoff model?
We do this a lot.
Ooh,
in
is it a
baseball
pleasure model?
I don't know. I haven't seen. That's a good question.
Weak.
Lame. Their playoff model, though, Keith.
Yeah, listening.
Gives the Patriots an 81% chance of making the playoffs.
Oh, well, yeah. I could see that. I mean, after they beat the Bills, they went to a big favorite to make the playoffs. And then another win like this and the landscape of the AFC makes sense.
81% to make the playoffs. 3.5% chance to win the Super Bowl.
Duck boats.
The whole thing?
The whole thing?
The whole kit and caboodle? 3.5%? Not to make the Super Bowl.
To win the whole thing?
3.5%.
Listen, it's a wide open NFL. If you're paying attention, right? If your eyes are open on this, it's a wide open league. There are no juggernauts anymore. So why not the Pats?
Why not us?
Why not the Pats? 3.5%? It's pretty good.
Real good.
That's real nice.
I didn't expect to see that. I didn't expect even 81% to make the playoffs. I'm surprised about those numbers. They're also projected for 10.6. Let's call it 11 wins is what they're projected for right now.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense because when you win at Buffalo, right? Like, I don't know how much of this has to do with beating the Saints, right? Like, five other teams beat the Saints. They're not all, you know, Super Bowl favorites or anything like that. But beating the Bills, then following it up, and then looking around the rest of the conference and being like, all right, I think they can play with everybody. They're still very much like an underdog as it relates to, you know, winning the AFC and things like that. But a lot of those top teams are stumbling, whether due to injury or just poor performance or both, and then sort of like a new group there at the top, and you're like, all right, why not them? Like, I honestly, like, if they're playing a little bit better, if they're healthy, like, it's a team that is pretty good and has an easy schedule on top of it, which would lead to 10-11 wins.
Yeah, you went to Buffalo and beat them.
Yeah.
But I think you have to respect Buffalo. I think you still have to respect the Chiefs. They look pretty good beating Detroit last
night.
Yeah,
they're not dead yet.
No, I mean, they're 3-3. If you got Kansas City in a playoff game, I would respect their body of work, and I'd probably understand why they were favored. The rest of the AFC, Colts, not great yesterday. Steelers beat the Patriots, but the Patriots should have beat them. Chargers playing like garbage, although they pulled out a late win against Miami.
Yeah, who's even worse?
Jags lost. Broncos looked horrible against the Jets yesterday, though they won.
Broncos and Chargers both won, but I think it had way more to do with their two opponents.
That was the AFC playoff picture. I just gave it to you.
That's it.
And so that's why the Patriots have a good chance at A, making the playoffs, and B, maybe making some noise once they get there.
I think the Colts and the Steelers, I'm with you. I would take the Pats, but they're saying the same thing. Like, if you're in Indianapolis, you're like, all right, this could be their year. If you're the Steelers, you could be like, this could be their year.
So the Patriots would do it on the back of a potential MVP candidate, which we'll get to coming up, in Drake May. Another monster performance from him, although you alluded to it, much better in the first half than the second half. Still 261, three touchdowns, didn't turn it over, picked up some yardage on the ground as well, and another win for Drake May. So you feel good about that, and you can discuss it all day long on a Patriots Monday here on Jones and Keefe. 617-779-7937. You can interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always a healthy chat going on Twitch. You can do the same on YouTube. You can watch, you can chat, subscribe to WEEI on YouTube. Speaking of Drake May, Keefe, we can't get into the Patriots and the victory yesterday without some of the plays that were taken away from Drake May.
God, what was that?
If you're familiar with, I think, our work together,
we got ourselves a bona fide cheating scandal.
I think we largely try to stay out of it with the refs. Like, we've talked about robot refs.
Yeah, it seems like a loser's lament oftentimes. Like, there are bad calls. There are pretty costly calls. But I try to think that usually they go both ways or whatever else. And there are times where it's a little bit tilted, but you're like, all right, you got to overcome that and you got to win. So I think it's always fair to point it out. But to say that is the sole reason why a team lost, I hate doing that.
So, same.
Yeah.
You can't ignore how bad the refs were yesterday.
Well, not only were the calls bad, but it was late. The delay of the calls. So it's like, all right, you didn't have it. It's one thing to have a bad call in real time. It's one thing to delay. Touchdown, great play. Everyone's excited. Half the field's excited. Half the field's dejected. Both send out their special teams units. Then you're like, oh, wait a minute. Flag.
Well, I don't even know if a flag was ever thrown.
Oh, maybe not.
So, I don't know if a flag was ever thrown. New Orleans, if you watch, and I've just seen the clips of this, Keefe. I don't pretend to go back and watch the All-22, Shime style.
Get in there.
But I've seen clips of this. I mean, New Orleans didn't react whatsoever to the call. We're talking about the negated, the second touchdown to Pop that got negated.
Which, on the other side of the field, Steph Diggs apparently had offensive pass interference.
Way out of the way of the play. And you're right. The real egregious thing there is the delay in that call.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think from there, people are like, all right, well, we've already gotten boned by the refs, and there's already been this trash call, and now you see more of them getting taken away. I thought Diggs did push off on his pass interference.
Yeah, like, there's just so many of those.
It might have been a ticky-tack call,
yeah.
But I watched the replay, and I go, okay, well, I can see why they would throw a flag there. Whether you agree with it or not, Diggs did push off. If you think it happens every play, if you think it was ticky-tack, fine. But I can at least understand that one. But from there, it really seemed to get out of control.
Oh, it was stupid. Yeah, the Diggs one on its own, in slow-mo replay, it looks like more of a push. I think he kind of made like slight contact, but you see that all the time. And you see great receivers get away with that all the time, too. And if you watch that replay again, even in slow-mo, I don't think the receiver or the corner was completely like pushed off of his spot. There was obviously contact. I'm not trying to tell you there was zero contact. But you see that all the time. I would have let that play stand. I thought that was bad. But nothing was as bad as taking the Pop Douglas touchdown off the board. It made no sense. And then you're like, why on earth would the refs be in the back for the Saints? It doesn't make any sense, right? We hear this all the time about Patrick Mahomes.
Saints were a home dog yesterday. Maybe that's a good bet. Three and a half points at home. Yeah,
couldn't even cover. They tried.
Refs were trying.
Refs tried.
They were trying hard.
But it's frustrating because it also takes away from the flow of the game, too. And, like, early on, it's relatively high scoring, right? It's back and forth, and you're seeing the Patriots chuck the ball around, and like, that's great. And then you're like, oh, let's bring it back. Let's call it over again. Let's do this. And then explain the flags. Because the flags were at one point somewhat low for the Pats. You're like, oh, maybe this is going to be sort of a, you know, penalty-free type of game. And then, no, you know, as far as accepted penalties, they had 11 for 65. Saints were flagged 8 times, but still just frustrating, interrupts the flow of the game, and most of the calls were bad and or late.
Well, and especially that one, you're right.
Yeah.
The Patriots, on balance yesterday, had two different plays, 113 yards and a touchdown wiped out by offensive pass interference calls yesterday.
Brutal.
Is what they had wiped out. Now, here's what I like, is after the flag gets called, or the penalty gets called, the OPI on Diggs, which negates a Pop Douglas 61-yarder, would have been his second. I, by the way, would have cut Pop Douglas weeks ago.
Oh, yeah. Egg on our face.
I guess I was rash.
Hey, looks good.
In that decision. But right after that, they get in the end zone. Kayshawn Booty with a 25-yard touchdown. First to 2 on
nice
the day
game.
For Booty. Real nice
Some
game
clutch,
for him.
Clutch catches as well.
So I like that Drake May and the offense overcame some of these questionable calls, late calls against the Pats. Here's Drake May talking about that after the game.
Yeah, I think it was huge. You know, it was a really late call. We were almost on the sideline. I was about to sit down. Yeah, I think just coming back and battling and picking up a couple consistent drives in the first half, and then Booty with a great play in the back of the end zone, just trying to give him a chance on one on one. You know, one on one is open in this league, and you got to know that. And left some out there coming out of the half in the second half first drive. So that was a bummer, but just got to keep going.
So I'm with you, Keith. I feel a lot better coming in questioning the refs because the Patriots overcame the bad calls,
yeah,
the questionable calls, the late calls against them. As opposed to they lose that game, they let it get to them, and now we're all crying that the refs lost you the game. I feel a lot better doing it on the other side of a win than the other way around.
Yeah, and, like, good for them. Like, that's a little bit of adversity, right? Because, like, you score a touchdown, and it's an awesome play, and it's easy to be like, well, we just scored on this one, and then maybe the rest of the drive fizzles out. And it's like, nope, all right, we'll do it again. And then you move down the field, and they do. And that's why, the joke was their first two possessions, Drake May had 3 passing touchdowns. Like, that's the way it was looking at that point. You're like, all right, just let this guy chuck it deep, because everything that they were doing was working. I also like his term there where he's like, one-on-one is open. So basically, if any receiver's one-on-one, they're open. Now, that also does speak to the personnel a little bit, because the last couple of years, that wasn't really the case.
No.
Those guys could be one-on-one, and they would be covered like a glove.
Meanwhile, Mike Vrabel won a couple of key challenges yesterday.
Yep.
I mean, the two-point conversion, was that a booth review? That might have been a booth review.
Yeah, that was also adding to the bad refs. Like, that was clearly in on the first go.
I mean, I don't know if he was clearly in, but like,
but his body was in.
His body was in. So right. I'm like, how do you?
It disappears
not
in there.
Call
like,
him in on that.
I don't know.
So I'm sorry. That was a booth review they did right before halftime.
I don't know if you guys were watching Red Zone at all during that yesterday, but they during halftime, yeah, the other games, they spent 10 minutes telling you what happened on those two plays.
It's because Scott Hansen effed it up so bad. He said they wiped out the touchdown. I know exactly what happened. He said they wiped out the touchdown. It didn't count to Kayshon Booty, and then they were running.
The scoreboard didn't know either because it was still 14.
CBS, oh, it did. CBS had the scoreboard wrong. So Red Zone, if you missed any, if you watched the Patriots like I did,
yeah,
and went over to Red Zone at halftime like I did, then you just rewatched everything you just watched. It was super annoying because Hansen effed it all up.
Got it.
But anyway, so that was a bad one. I thought it was a fumble on Juwan Johnson, which Vrabel had to challenge. He won that challenge.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the challenge on the sideline where Booty was in bounds and Vrabel won, which I want to react to on the other side. But here's Vrabel on winning a few challenges yesterday.
I don't think you ever really know nowadays. I really don't. Shutch does a fantastic job and, you know, just trying to figure it out how they're going to see it. Sometimes they see it the way we do. Sometimes they don't. And they're just trying to be... be as smart as we possibly can, and we felt like, you know, those were plays that could help us.
Okay,
they were.
I think that's the closest we've really seen to Vrabel really making like a head coaching impact on some of these bang bang plays. Like when he was in Tennessee,
yeah,
and he was
messing with Bill
and outmaneuvering Bill. We hadn't really seen much of that yet. I think yesterday those two challenges we saw it out of Vrabel. He helped them. By those decisions, he helped them seal a win yesterday.
Yeah, no, those were good. Those were good, and that's also that is his guy's stretch, right? For everything with what Bill was doing, like that was Ernie Adams and like the mad scientist that he was, and those guys working together. So that's a good sign because that's one that you were hoping to get going into some of these games, like who has the coaching advantage. And obviously, last year, a little lopsided, didn't have a lot of those.
No.
This year, though, you're like, all right, Kellen Moore, like I'll take Vrabel, right? So like week to week, you're like, all right, if you have the coach and the quarterback advantage, I mean, you win at like a 90% clip, it feels like. And so I think Vrabel, you know, at least yesterday, kind of proving once again that should be an advantage they have week to week.
You said it, I didn't.
real quick to clear something up, because this is going to come up a lot this week about the three straight road games.
Oh, yeah.
So people are questioning, well, how did like Tom Brady never win three straight road games? They went 16-0. Three consecutive road games.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, like, yeah, they went 8-0 that year on the road, but they didn't play. The way the schedule was, they didn't play three road games in three consecutive weeks.
They didn't play week 5, 6, 7 the road consecutively.
So that's what that means.
So, yeah, maybe that was poor phrasing on my end.
Well, no, it's just a little wordy. You gotta.
Three consecutive road games, all away from Foxborough. So that's what they'll try to do against Tennessee this weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.